You're listening to the Home Staging Show podcast. I'm your host, Cindy Lin. This is the show where we talk about all things real estate, home staging, and selling your home to live and to sell. Welcome back to season 4. This is episode 11. Our show is brought to you by our in-house product, EcoGel, the eco-friendly St. Joseph statue home selling kit. In real estate, there's a tradition of burying St. Joseph statues for good luck. But because all the existing products on the market were made with plastic, we made an eco-friendly version named EcoGel. He's all natural, won't harm the earth. For more information, you can visit our website at www.ecogelkits.com. That's spelled ecogelkits.com. Hey guys, welcome back to the last episode of season 4, and hello from Copenhagen. So I caught a bug while I've been traveling in the past few weeks, and now I'm finally feeling much back to my old self again. So on today's show, I'm interviewing Lisa Colalillo, who had been on the show before. For those of you who are in the Canada listening, you might know her from the HGTV show Critical Listing, where she served as a host for the seasons. She's also one of the top real estate agents in Toronto area, and today she's back on the show to talk to us about selling your home during the holidays, what to look out for, what are the advantages and disadvantages, and especially about holiday decorations. This is something that people ask all the time about. She also has some really amazing numbers to share for the differences between staging and not staging your house during a real hot real estate market right now, which is what Toronto is going through. So Lisa has 10 years of experience investing and selling real estate and figuring out the money game. She's a creator of YouTube show Lisa in the City TV. Lisa hacks into the game of money, how to use it and turn it into wealth, but not in that CNN report kind of way. Lisa brings her sassy personality to make money talk fun and entertaining. Frustrated that money is a taboo topic that everyone's scared to talk about and that traditional schools are not teaching the skills needed to be a successful person with money, Lisa is shifting the landscape, creating a supportive online space where entrepreneur women can take their lives to the next level. Lisa's signature online program, Rich and Radiant Money Mastery, fills the gaps and teaches you how to create wealth. Lisa went from broke professional dancer to making six figures by 20 years old, to creating multiple streams of income to support her living expenses, and shares how she did it so you can too. She has appeared as a TV host and property expert on HGTV show Critical Listing, and she has been featured in the Globe and Mail, the Toronto Star, Toronto Life Magazine, and City Life Magazine. So before we get started today, there's a few big changes that are coming up for Stage More. So we have decided to let go of our studio space within the next 6 months or so. So we'll be having a studio sale for all our staging inventory later on this year in San Francisco Bay Area. This also means EcoGel will be moving as well. So we're currently having a super liquidation sale for the EcoGel inventory. You can go on the website at www.ecogelkits.com for more information. There are also going to be some changes for the podcast as well. As you know, this is the last episode for season 4, and this season I've been feeling pretty guilty not being able to put the show episodes out on time, mostly because I've been traveling and doing all these crazy intensive courses and also being sick on and off several times. I'm not sure exactly when season 5 will be coming back, but what I can tell you that is the format's gonna change as well. So it has been me publishing a new episode every time, every week, roughly on Wednesdays. And as you know, because I've been traveling and doing so much, the publishing schedule has not been going out on time. Again, I feel really terrible and guilty about. It's like this thing looming over my head every time the episode is late. And the last thing I want to do is to feel bad about the podcast and to feel guilty about it. So I've decided that for future season, I am going to try, well, I am going to copy Netflix. So we're going to try this for season 5, where once the whole season is done, I'm going to release all the episodes at once. This way you can binge listen and I can plan the programming and the guests much better with a more consistent theme and flow. And I also want to thank everyone who's downloaded episodes, listened, and took the time to write reviews on iTunes and ratings as well. I really, really appreciate all of your feedback, support, and really kind words. For this particular episode, unfortunately, we had some audio issues because Lisa's schedule was really crazy at the time. So she called in between appointments from her parked car. She actually was doing a house inspection. So I think at some point you hear her in the house for a listing that she had. So reception was not the best that day. And some parts of it may sound like we're going through the Star Trek time warp. So I do apologize for that. But do the best you can. Listen to the episode. Lisa is, as usual, full of information, and she's just amazing, and I just love her energy and her passion for real estate. So without further ado, let's start the show. So I know you just had a baby since we last chatted. Like, how has motherhood changed your real estate business?
Oh my gosh. I think the biggest thing, and probably anybody who's a parent can justify this, is time management. That's been, I mean, time really, it's clear to me that time is our biggest asset. And so I think the biggest thing that's happened is really, you know, focusing on the things that are worth doing. And I mean, girl, like, my time management skills are on point. So you know how when you eat a piece of steak, and sorry for all the vegans out there, but when you eat a piece of steak, you cut the fat off, right? And you focus on the good stuff. And I think that's what I've had to do in my life and my business, is just, you know, cut away the stuff that is just, you know, kind of wasting time, and really make sure that the time I have is spent being efficient and doing the things that are going to get me the best results. And that's what I've had to do. So what that kind of looks like in my business is, you know, really making sure that I have the best, like, stagers, photographers, marketers, that I'm using, so I don't have to micromanage. Because as a bona fide control freak, that was my tendency in the past, and I just don't have time for that now. So, you know, making sure you have the best people that you're working with, so that, you know, you can close your eyes and know that what they come back with is going to be exactly what you need.
No, I think that's great. I personally don't have a child, but I can imagine it's probably a huge shift in your business in terms of making everything happen. And really, yeah, trimming the fat to make sure you're more effective for your clients as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I wouldn't say have a child to become effective, but mm-hmm. it's definitely a way to...
To force you to be. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you don't realize how much time you really have until you don't have it anymore.
It's true. I agree with that. And how has market changed in the past year for you guys?
Here, like, I'm in the Toronto area of Canada, and over here, this past year, the market it's on fire. I mean, it's really been the hottest market that we've seen. With, I think in the past year to year, we've had a 20% increase, which has been one of the highest years on record for us. And it's also kind of led to a lot of people thinking that they can just, you know, when the market's really hot, people tend to think, oh, I don't need to do anything to sell my house. It'll just sell on its own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is like the biggest mistake you can make, because when a market really is hot, you're actually leaving a lot of money on the table when it doesn't look its best. Because if it's gonna sell anyways, can you imagine what it'll sell for when everybody wants that house?
Yeah, exactly. So but I'm assuming it's more difficult to convince sellers to move forward with staging when the market is doing really well.
It can be, until you show them, like, the price difference. And realistically, I mean, and I tell people, look, I can sell your house if the way it is. So I'll tell you what the price is as is, and then I'll tell you the price if you actually stage it, the difference in price. And then you decide, you know, if you want to leave that money on the table and you don't care because maybe time is of the essence, or, you know, if it makes sense. And for some people, it could be a difference of $100,000 depending on the house, you know.
God.
So it's, yeah.
That's
it is, because when you have a lot of people wanting your house versus, versus a lot less, it makes a difference. When people are fighting for a house and you get bidding wars, it becomes an emotional buy. So the end price can actually be a lot higher and more than you think, you know, and you're leaving money on the table if you don't tap into that, because the price of staging at the end of the day is nowhere near the amount of money you'll get on the back end, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to tell you, Cindy, or your viewers, I'm sure. So
I know. Yeah, I think that's amazing. 100,000, that's crazy.
I know, right? It is. And it's crazy to not do it.
What's the listing price?
And you're leaving that kind of money on the table. So
what would the listing price be for that kind of house?
Well, when you're talking about homes that are, I would say, above like the 1.2, 1.3 range, mm-hmm. You know, and there's homes like I've just listed a house that we're listing it at 1.578. And there's other homes that are probably 1,000 square foot bigger. But this house, we did it up to the nines, and we probably will get 1.7 for it. Because even the smaller in square footage, I think that it should be worth less. But because it looks so much better than the 1.8 homes, we'll almost get there.
That's very cool. I love that.
So, you know, a difference going from 1.6 to 1.7, you know, it's worth it.
Yeah. It's really worth it. I mean, we're preaching to the choir, I think, probably, for listeners out there. So today's show is going to be about selling during the holiday. Since we're coming up to really fast. I can't believe it's already September. It's already mid-September. By the time this show airs, it's going to be October. So people are going to be getting ready for Halloween and then Thanksgiving and then Christmas and then New Year. So it's I think once we hit the Halloween months, like once we hit October, everything just seems moving forward super fast.
Yeah, I just before this call, I happened to jump into a dollar store to go buy a birthday card for my husband, because tomorrow it's his birthday, and I realized I didn't buy him a birthday card. So hopefully he's not gonna listen to. Well, it's too late by the time he hears this. Anyways,
I think giving birth is enough. So I happened to pop in
there, and there's you know.
I think giving birth is enough. Yeah.
Happy birthday. But they already have like all the holiday stuff out. I'm like, really? The official end of summer hasn't happened yet. Leave it alone, guys. Like, give me time.
I know. I think
Christmas stuff everywhere.
Yeah, I think one of the complaints here in the States is that it seems like the stores, they jump over Thanksgiving, because it's like Halloween, and next thing you know, Halloween stuff come down, and it's like Christmas, and there's like really nothing in between. Yeah.
So true.
So a lot of people say that selling during the holidays can be really tricky. What is your thought on that?
Do you know when there's two times when people's homes look their best. Do you know what they are?
No.
Well, okay.
After
one is just... Well, one is like just before company comes over, because when someone comes over, you're never going to show your house the way it is. You're going to tidy up a little bit, put air fresheners everywhere, make your bed. You're going to do all the things, right? The next time is the holidays, because you've got outdoor lights, you've got tablescapes on your dining room table. There might be, you know, music in the background, the candles. I mean, your house is completely staged during the holidays. And it's in a way that appeals to the most memorable and heartwarming time of the year.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, that being said, I mean, the holidays are emotional. So there's huge advantages to say during the holidays. That being said, I don't think every single property, truth be told, I don't think every single property should be sold during the holidays. There's certain ones that it totally makes sense. And then there's others that it's not the right time for them.
Okay, so can you elaborate on that? What are some of the properties can be sold during holidays, and what are some of the ones that just are not appropriate?
Well, I think that, okay, first of all, if you live in a country like I do in Canada where we get snow, and boy, do we get snow during the winter, depending on where in Canada you are, you know, we have winters that you have snow on the ground. So if you have an oasis of a backyard where the landscaping, you've gone to the nines to make this incredible retreat in your backyard with a pool and all kinds of stuff interlocking. And then the winter comes and it covers all of that and everything is closed up. I don't think you should sell in the winter because you want to be able to showcase the best features of your house. And if the best features of your house are covered with snow, don't sell during the winter.
That's a great point. Yeah. And then what are some advantages?
So that being said, if you live in a condo, sorry, I was just going to say, now, if you have a property like a condo where it doesn't matter, then, you know, it might be more worth it to sell in the winter.
Yeah, because there's really no strong difference when you're selling during winter or summer. So,
Yeah. Now, like, I think you were going to, before I kind of cut you off there, you were asking, like, advantages or disadvantages. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I think there's a slight delay for a Skype, maybe, for you. So.
Oh, okay. Fine. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think the advantage of selling it during the holidays would be, number one, buyers are super motivated. Like especially in a country that I live in, again, with the snow, you know, any buyer that's willing to trek through snow to look at a property, those are not looky-loos. Those are people who need to buy a house. So I think, number one, you have, although the quantity of buyers is probably lower, and that would be the disadvantage, I think the advantage is that the people who are looking, even if it's a smaller group, they are extremely motivated people. And then to touch another point, and another advantage would be, again, like, our home looks so good. So it's inviting. I mean, you've got the planters, the lighting, it looks homey and it's cozy, and that's something to capitalize on during the holidays. In terms of other homes, you definitely have a lot less competition on the market. So not only do you have highly motivated buyers, but you have a lot less other homes on the market competing for those buyers. Because, you know, most people, they say, you know, typically people will wait till the spring. That's the most popular time to sell your home. And I think also people are just nicer during the holidays, so it's a lot easier to negotiate with them, don't you think? I mean, it's really easy to negotiate with people when everybody's in that holiday mood. The other thing is, you know, December is a tax season for a lot of people, and near the end of the year, people start thinking, I need to spend money or have certain tax benefits, and you might get some executive CEO types that are, whether it's investment properties or whatever properties that they can put under their companies, they may be looking to buy stuff to offset certain taxes. So that's where December can be a big advantage depending on the type of property you have. And then I think also the other advantage would probably just be that in December, people tend to slow down. I mean, even if they're working, they're not really working because they're kind of, you know, just closing up the year. And so, you know, they're online searching more and they have more time to go actually look at property. So I think all those things lead to a really good opportunity if you're a seller with the right type of property in the winter.
Yeah, I agree. I think you do get buyers are much more motivated.
That
yeah. And also, yeah, like you said, I think people are a bit nicer during the holiday. I don't know why.
Yeah, like there's family I never hear from all year long, and then the holidays come around and it's like, hey. So yeah, people are definitely more friendly during the holidays.
So I know this is kind of I don't want to say controversy, but people do debate on it. So should sellers keep their homes on the market during the holidays, or are they better off to wait until after New Year?
Well, I can see that a lot of people, number one, it depends on the type of property you have is the short answer. So again, you know, when we were talking about type of property, your backyard or not having a backyard that's totally done, then you shouldn't sell during the holidays. But those people who are going to sell during the holidays, one thing I would say is, okay, if you want to take off, let's say, if you're someone who celebrates Christmas, let's say, maybe you take off the 23rd to the 25th, but then I would show the home between the 26th and the New Year, because there's a lot of people that take that week off. Because kids are, you know, home for the holidays, or, you know, they're they have their last vacation to sort of, if you work in a place where you can't transfer your vacation time to the next year, they might just use that last week to stay home with the kids. So they have time to go and look if they're on the market for a house. So, you know, during that time, I would say if you're going to be on the market in, you know, during the holidays, that would be the week you want to be on the market for sure. Like, I think the week before is when everyone's having their holiday parties and they're probably had a little bit too much of the punch. And so, you know, if you want to take that week off, maybe take that week off. But that week between the 26th and New Year's, I would say if there's motivated buyers out there, then you want to be on the market during that time.
Yeah, because I have had agent clients calling me during the holidays and they sold the house actually like on Christmas Eve. I mean, like, I think if buyers are really motivated to buy, like, they will be able to find time to come look at your house. And they're probably even more motivated because it's during the holidays.
Absolutely. And if you're going to be on the market, that's the time that you want to be on. You know, it's better if you're going to go in, go all in, because there are people looking. There's many years that I've done like signed deals right on Christmas Day, because not everybody celebrates Christmas anyways. And so those people are going to be looking. And if they're on the market, they're ready to go, you know. So you have to really look at, and this is where your local realtor will be able to help you, but really you want to look at who is the typical buyer that's moving into the neighborhood. Because a lot of people look at who already lives in the neighborhood. You have to look at who are the people that are moving in now to the neighborhood, not who moved in 5 years ago and already lived there, but who are moving in now. And, you know, what kind of a person are they? And are they someone who's going to be looking at that time? Or are they someone who goes on vacation and they're not around? Because if that's the case, then you don't want to be on the market during the holidays.
Does that make sense? True. Yeah, no, that's very true. And then do you find it's difficult to get, because some of the things I read is that a lot of mortgage professionals don't work during holidays, which I don't think is true at all. So it might be difficult for them to close the buyer's loans for the contract. Do you think that's true at all, or it just depends on your market?
I think it depends on your market. And I mean, like here for us, maybe it's different if they're working, if your buyer is going directly to the bank versus working with a mortgage broker. Because if you're working directly with the bank, then it may be harder to get something closed. But for the most part, you know, mortgage brokers are running their own business. So they're just as hungry to get business and get the deal done as you should be, as the realtor should be. So it shouldn't be a problem. But I think, you know, as someone's working with a buyer, then you need to give them the heads up. Hey, we're going to be looking during the holidays. And are you going to be around? Like, I think that's just communication and making sure that everybody is in line and ready to go if you find the right house.
That's very true. And what are your thoughts on holiday decorations?
I love holiday decorations. I think though, like to sell, like in order to sell at a high price, because it's one thing to just sell, it's another thing to sell at the highest price possible. And if that's what your intention is, and for most sellers, that's what they want to do, is you want to appeal to as many people as possible, but particularly to that target buyer that is going to pay you the best money for living in the neighborhood where your property is. So I think that anything, you know, and these are sort of the typical things you hear in staging where, you know, you don't want anything too personal, too religious that can isolate or prevent a buyer from having that experience of walking into your home and feeling at home there and all lovey-dovey about your home. Because, you know, if they don't happen to celebrate the same religious holidays that you're celebrating, you don't want them to walk in the home and feel like a little bit uncomfortable or like it's just not totally suited for them. Like, you want to be like a builder at a new home site, that they create a model home that appeals to everybody and is inclusive of everybody. And that's the same thing you want to do with holiday decor, which can be a little tricky sometimes, but it's totally possible because you can do themes like, you know, winter wonderland or a ski hill chalet that's kind of rustic. You know, you don't necessarily have to go religious. You know, you can do more sort of generic winter themes if you for holiday decor.
I agree with that. Every time an agent asks me to bring a Christmas tree, I always kind of cringe a little bit and I just politely say no. I think it's far more effective if you just have hints of it. So I will work in a little bit more Christmas red into the decor, but not necessarily put up a full Christmas tree. I've never done a Christmas tree in any of my stage homes.
I mean, can I ask you something? Is the Christmas, like, I know it's called Christmas tree, but it, like, the tree itself is not a religious thing, right? Like, it's, I don't know why they call it Christmas tree. Maybe it's just because time of year, but, like, I have seen the Christmas tree sort of decorated with just lights and red bows, and that looked amazing. Like, it looked really great. Like, what I would say for sure, it's better probably not to put it up. But I think if you are going to put it up, then, you know, maybe don't put the nativity scene at the bottom or, like, angels and pictures of Jesus everywhere. Like, you know, more shy about those things.
Yeah, I think you can do it very elegantly. But some people, I remember in high school, we were doing a holiday party for one of our clubs. And so we're talking about putting up a Christmas tree. And I think one of the guys was like, well, I'm Jewish, so I don't want a tree there. I mean, it's something, I don't know. I think it's debatable because, I don't know, I rather err on the side of caution. Like, I do put wreath up.
Absolutely.
I do put wreath up. But I decorate it with, you know, like, you know, those red berries kind of, you know, you would see in like something that's really subtle. Like, you still work in that color palette instead of doing like a full on Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And there are agents who put them in. I would recommend if you're really going to commit to having a tree, like, have a really nice tree and not like have a really dinky plastic one that looks like, you know, like a
Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah, like a Charlie Brown Christmas type of tree. I mean, because you really do want to appeal. I mean, because I used to do visual for Ralph Lauren, and obviously they have Christmas trees, and they do a really lush and beautiful one, even if they use silk floral for it. And that's the goal you want to aim for. If you really want to commit putting a tree in a house, do a really nice tree, but do it like, you know, pretty neutrally in a sense that you're not, like you said, you're not putting like a nativity scene on it. There's like not like a cross and Jesus all over the place. But if you just decorate with red ribbons, make it look festive, like a celebration, I think can be very effective. But again, that's based on your, I think that has to do with your market as well. Like, if you obviously in a predominantly like Middle Eastern neighborhood, for example, I think a Christmas tree wouldn't do very well. I grew up in Taiwan. We didn't celebrate Christmas at all. We still don't celebrate Christmas in our house. I mean, when we go, like, if I were to buy a house, I see a Christmas tree in a stage home. I get it. That's part of staging, but it has no emotional connection to me at all. So that's why I think decor-wise, I think just, if you really want to do it elegantly, like what they do in the retail space. Like, look at Ralph Lauren. They do a really great job doing holiday decor. Or like Anthropology, they do something that's like a winter wonderland, but it's not like, you know, any necessary like religion related. I think retail stores pretty much have it down because they are taught to be able to appeal to a really broad range of buyers. You don't want to alienate any type of buyers that you have that can be walking into the store. I mean, same thing with stage homes. If you're in, say, like somebody who is really traditional Jewish and they walk into a house with Christmas tree or like the nativity scene everywhere, it might be really turning off for them. I don't know.
Absolutely. It isolates them. It doesn't make them feel at home. And people need to get that lovey-dovey feeling when they walk into a home to want to buy it. And if they don't feel that way, you know, it's kind of, it's like dating. It's the, it's not you, it's me scenario. And really, no, it's you. It's what's going on. It's the decor. You got to change it. But, you know what? And I think at the end of the day, what it really comes down to, whether it's the holidays, whether it's not the holidays, you got to have decor that is inclusive and not exclusive of you. It needs to include people and not exclude them. So if you want to get the highest price, and that's what staging is all about. What I love that you just mentioned, Cindy, though, is like merchandising. These big retail corporate stores, like, they have merchandising down packed, and that's what staging is for real estate. And you know, now in the past year, I think if there's one thing that's changed about the way we're staging things, is we're even doing the closets, like the master bedroom closet. We actually stage it to look like a retail store now, and put like little perfume bottles in between and nice little boxes. The best boxes and bags, because we want the woman to walk in there, or whoever is using that master walk-in closet, and be like, wow, this is my closet. You need to buy me this house. Exactly. We need to buy this house, you know, and that's what you need. And so we're going as far as even the closets now, especially in, you know, in some of these higher end homes. It's merchandising, and it's bringing that element and that strategy to real estate. Like, why do you think Ralph Lauren and all these other big companies, why do you think their storefronts and their stores look beautiful? Because they want you to have that experience. They want you to come back, and they want you to buy the thing, because the statistics that say when they do it, they get this much more in sales. Like, there's a company here, Sears. I don't know. Do you guys know Sears?
Yeah, we have Sears.
Okay, so here in Canada, I don't know how it's doing in the States or anywhere else, but in Canada, Sears has not been doing very well this past year. Their sales have plummeted substantially, and one of the things, as they've been sort of closing, is they've just stopped hiring people to, you know, fold and keep everything nice. So you walk in there now into Sears, and it's like a thrift store. Like, there's just shit everywhere, you know what I mean? Like, nothing is folded nicely, and just like, there's no display of the anymore. And so, and they've actually mostly, like, since happened, their sales have plummeted even more than what they thought. And you know, it's directly related to the way they're displaying their merchandise. And that's the same effect happens in real estate.
Yeah, I agree. They're in trouble in the States as well. I read an article about that, and they show all these photos of these current Sears stores where, like, half the store is completely deserted. And it just looked really bad. It looked like they got robbed, basically. And because they
Exactly. And are you going to pay a higher price for that same shirt? No, you're not.
Yeah. And then it's kind of the thing, too, because a lot of, like, I don't know why, but a lot of times when they have a Walmart here in California, they put a Target across the street from it. And I think the shopping experience is very different, because in Walmart, usually the aisles are a little bit smaller and they really pack in the merchandising. And you go to, across the street, or a Target, where, like, everything is very, like, merchandise, and it's like happier, poppier colors, even interiors feel different. And I remember my dad first time he went to Walmart and Target, like, together, and he was just like, I think I like Target better. I mean, even though Target charges a little bit more. And my dad is like the typical Asian guy who's very frugal, like the Asian parent, like a stereotypical one. So it does make a difference in terms of presentation. It's one of the things, as a visual merchandiser, you are just drilled into constantly, about having be able to create that scheme that really sells the product.
And maybe, you know what, maybe this is even, you can go into like another episode just talking about this, but it's the way things are going in real estate and in everything. I mean, it should be a listed version of your life. It's a merchandised version of your life. put a foot forward. So, I mean, in real estate, it's when there's so many, such a huge amount of money on the line, like that is, you got to do it, period.
Yeah, because you're not only just selling the house, you're really selling that lifestyle that comes with the house. And that's what staging mm-hmm. is about. It's creating that lifestyle that people want to buy into. And what are some of the things homeowners should be aware of if they're selling during the holidays?
Should be aware of. I think it's just kind of going through the advantages and disadvantages and seeing what is going to be the best strategy for the type of home that they have. Like, I mean, we kind of touched on a lot of it before. It was like, you know, looking at what are the best features of this home and does it make sense to sell it now or wait for another season where you can best showcase it. And just understanding that, you know what, at the end of the day, there are less buyers during the holidays because just, you know, typically there's this thing of spring market. And that's, I know for us, that's a difficult holiday. Your property is one that can be best showcased during that time. And I just understanding that because, you know, we talk about the advantages of holiday being on the market during the holiday, but it really is important just to understand and be clear and are seeing the holidays and then go for it. If it is, you know, really go for it. Don't, you know, go on the market and then not be available. I think one of the best things about being on the market during the holidays is not have posters. You're like, look, my property, how about you do Christmas this year or you do the holiday party this year or whatever, you know? So if you've been trying to get away from doing that, it's a great excuse to avoid hosting.
Don't come to my house.
And to go to other people's parties.
Exactly. Always go to other people's parties. No. Okay.
Yeah.
So I know you have
Other thing you could really do, I'm just going to throw this out there. Sorry, Cindy. The other thing you could do is put your house on the market and go on vacation and let your house get sold while you're away.
Yeah, I think that's the best scenario. And also, I think a lot of people do that for summer
that
as well. Yeah, for summer vacation, they go on the holiday while their house is on the market. Yeah. Let me see. We're about 20 minutes left. So, let me see. So I think since we're talking about timing, about selling during the holidays, maybe we should talk about timing in general. What are some of the best times to sell a house? Or is there such thing?
I think, again, I think that it each house or neighborhood could be a little bit different. I mean, even if, you know, if you have a vacation property.
Wait, Lisa, you're breaking up again.
Or a rental property.
Lisa,
you know,
you're breaking
I think
up again.
At the end of the day, the best time to be on the market is when you can best showcase your house. So whatever. Can you hear now?
Yeah, you're warbling again.
Hello?
Like, yeah, you're breaking up again. I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hello?
I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Okay. You
yeah.
Going?
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah. Like a lot better.
Okay. Okay. I think the best time to sell your house is always going to be when you can best showcase the best features of your house. So if you're a vacation property, you know, and the majority of people are taking spring vacation in your neighborhood, that's when you want to be on the market. If, you know, you have this incredible view and it's mostly a view of trees, then you definitely will want to showcase that view during a time where you can see it. And it may not be in the winter or fall when it gets darker later. But if you're someone who has a view of the city lights at night, you may want to sell your home in the fall or winter where it's the, you know, it gets darker earlier and you can see those city lights and how beautiful the view is. So you really want to just look at what are the best features of your home and when is the best time of year that you're typical buyer is going to be able to see those best features and when they're looking in your neighborhood. So I think, and that's something that you have to, you know, talk to your realtor and get the timing right, because timing is really important to getting the, you know, top dollar for your home. Absolutely, bar none.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so I have two listener questions. The first one is from Susan. Mm-hmm. She is a home stager, and she asked that, would you advise sellers to pare down their holiday decoration to help distractions, or should they still put up their Christmas tree? I think we talked about this just now, really.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say that at the end of the day, you really have to look at who's the typical buyer for your neighborhood, Susan. I think that, you know, and your realtor can help you with that for sure. And again, like, just do, you know, maybe ease up on the religious paraphernalia and go for a more generic theme or of holiday decor, like the winter wonderland. And and I mean, we had talked a little bit about merchandising from the retail perspective, but I think that's what you have to bring as a strategy into home decor, because it's a, like, home decor is something really nice to tap into, because you can really decorate your home. You know, you can have the gas fireplace running, you can have you know, holiday music in the background if it makes sense for the buyer that's buying in your neighborhood, but only if it makes sense for that. Otherwise, you might want to ease up. Definitely still decorate your house, and you know, the cinnamon scents are always incredible at this time of year. You know, use that to your advantage, not your disadvantage. So just make sure that you're using it in a way that's going to help you and not to disable you.
I totally agree with that. The other question is from Jane. She says, what about a home that sellers are living in? Should it be fully decorated, or is that too distracting for buyers? Also, I'm from Canada, so December we have snow on the ground. How to have curb appeal with snow and ice? Thanks.
Ooh, that's a good question. And I mean, I think if you're in a neighborhood that is like a family neighborhood where there's a lot of kids around or people having kids in the neighborhood, one thing I really love to do is actually put like a snowman on the front of, you know, like maybe a mommy, daddy, and two kids, sort of the stereotypical nuclear family. That, I would put that on the front. You can use the snow to create that, kind of dress it up, and you could do like a little sign that the, all the four snowmen are holding, and it's like welcome home type. Like, you can really make it cozy if it's a family neighborhood and use the snow to your advantage. And then, you know, the lights outside are always beautiful. It gets darker later, so you can really use lights to highlight the home. One of my favorite photographs of a home is that twilight shot just before the sun sets. It's mm-hmm. the most beautiful shot you can take of a gorgeous home. And because it's darker a little bit earlier during the winter, you know, using artificial lights, just lighting around the house, can do the same thing and just really highlight how beautiful the architecture of the front exterior is of your home. So I would use lights, I would use the snow, make snowmen, like, get creative. You can really do a lot of things there. And then you can still do planters during the holidays. Get some really nice planters, a wreath on the front door. There's things like that that you can do to really give it a great first impression. I hope that helps.
Yeah, no, I love that. And my one last question is, what's one tip you'll give to homeowner who are selling during the holidays?
I think the biggest tip I would say is it's a good way, and maybe this is not a tip, but just a comment is, it's a good way to show that your house has good bones. So if you're in a country like Canada or any country that has a lot of snow, it's a great way to show, like, if you have a finished basement, that it's still, the floors are still warm, the house feels warm. Maybe you have high efficiency windows, or it's a, you know, rated, you know, the efficiency of the home is really great in terms of not having a lot of heat escape the house, dirt walls, both. So I think that there's certain things that you can really highlight that you can't have many floors in your bathroom. You know, it's a good time to turn it on. When it's cold outside, because it'll help people realize coming out from the cold just that your house has really good bones and some really special features. Those would be some of the things that I would highlight during the holidays for sure. And I think another, if I were to give one tip, I would say scents. I mean, they say that, you know, of your five senses, you know, your sight, your smell, your hearing, your taste, all these things touch. That's why it's so important. But the second one is smell. Like, when you walk into a house, you can eat outside, so something really, the holidays, there are some really signature scents during the holidays. And I think cinnamon is a big part of that. You know, and you think of the holidays, I think of like a lot of baked goods. And if you don't bake, like I don't bake, get those Glade plugins or whatever, and you can really make, through scents, I think you can make a home really, really inviting.
That's amazing.
So I would play on that during the holidays.
That's great. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I know you're super busy.
And one more thing, to be a really great way to showcase a home is, when it comes to like, you know, open houses or how to showcase the home, is that après-ski kind of look. So I've seen people actually have people come over in their ski suits, have a little bonfire in the back in the snow with like Muskoka chairs. We call them and actually like a party to beautiful decorative. I mean, people love going to parties at this time. So if you have a great house for entertaining, I think it's a great way to showcase the home during the holidays.
So you're saying all, with an après-ski kind of look, that works really well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much again for everything. I really, really appreciate it to be on the show.
Thanks, Cindy, and thanks for everyone who's listening. Hopefully, you know, you can get a few things, and I'd love to hear you know, any tips that anyone asks. If I can throw my Instagram, I'm at Lisa in the City. Come and follow me and let me know what you think. I'd love to hear any of your guys' ideas. So tag me if you guys have some cool ideas for staging during the holidays.
Yeah, I definitely will. I'll put that in the show notes as well so people can tag you. Did you mean Instagram or YouTube or Facebook?
Instagram.
Okay.
Instagram.
Perfect.
Tagging in Instagram.
Perfect. So I'll put that in the show notes as well. All right.
Awesome.
Have a
Thanks
great
so much,
day.
Cindy.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
See you soon. Take care.
So that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to support the show and keep it going, you can do so by leaving a review and rating on iTunes. That will help other people to find our show. If you'd like to donate a few bucks to help with the hosting of the show, there's now a donation button on our website. You can go to sagemore.com/podcast, or you can go to the sidebar of our blog post on our website. As usual, feel free to ask any questions on the show notes or in our private Facebook group. You can also contact me via email by going to the contact form on our website. You can find the show notes by going to www.sagemore.com/podcast. That's it. Have a fantastic week and happy staging and happy holidays.